Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
It is such an honor. It was such an honor yesterday, and it's such an honor again today to be here and be able to speak to you guys. Just so you know, we are from England. That's why we sound weird.
Not from southern Texas.
We sometimes say we're from southern Texas, and there's this big silence around the room while people, are they? But this is really burst inside of us. This is a real heart message for us because, you know, like I was explaining yesterday, we came to America, obviously from England, 6 years ago on a prophetic word. And when you step out and allow God to sort of show you something pretty dramatic, pretty out there, you have to have the faith to do it. And it was something that really, really stirred up inside of us. So it's become a desire because we realized that actually the church has been put off with a lot of prophetic stuff over the years because people have got hurt and offended. And we were like, that's not God's heart. That's really not God's heart. God's heart is to have this relationship with us. And like Steve said, Paul tells us it's better that you prophesy. Because that's how we build each other up and we stir up those gifts. So that's what we want to do today. We have got a teaching. Brian will start and then I'll come back in. Because we all think, we believe that really when you speak on prophecy, that you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to go back to those promises. So there's going to be a little bit of teaching. We've also got some time for some prophetic activation for you. So don't leave the building, please.
Yeah, don't run away.
So it's really very harmless, okay? You're going to enjoy it. I can guarantee you that. Because Jesus is in the house.
Amen.
Amen. So we've got a message that we want to share that's really on our heart. And, it's so funny. We prepare and get this stuff going. And then we're always like, okay, Holy Spirit, change it if you want. So we always put that disclaimer out, okay? And then, while we were praying, Brian really felt the Lord gave him a scripture for the church. And usually we share this with the pastor first, or we leave it. When we go somewhere, we leave this word for the church. But Steve's turned around and said, no, just go for it this morning. So we're going to share this prophetic word over the church. And then there's another time of activation after that. And I really want to challenge you at the end to just let the Lord speak through you. Because we believe amazing things are going to be spoken here today.
Amen.
Okay. So I'm going to hand over to my amazing husband. And he'll get you going. And then I'll come back up again.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Wonderful. So Steve said, Pastor Steve said we got 5 hours. Is that correct? That's awesome. Everybody's looking scared now. What about lunch? What about this? What a church. I don't think, when you come to church on a weekly basis, I don't think you realise of what you have and what you carry. And just for me, I spend a lot of time listening and looking and just asking questions of God of what's going on in the house. And the words that I just felt, even before we start, is the basis. He said, do you want to hear what victory looks like? He said, just look, just listen. He said, this sounds like victory to me. And so it doesn't matter whatever you're going through or doesn't matter what is going on in your lives, you have victory. whether you like it or not. You know, I mean, I can tell you some horrible stories of the stuff that I've had to walk through in the last number of years, but I stand here by the goodness of God, by the love of God, by the grace of God. I was a prodigal son for 26 years. And so I know what it's like to live a life filled with just turmoil and stuff coming against you. But also, I got to see the goodness of God when I decided to come back to Him. And, you know, all the times that I was walking through these things and areas of my life, you know, nearly destroying my life, being a workaholic and everything else like that, I started to see the goodness of God. I've started to see His faithfulness and His love. And that's one thing for me is it doesn't matter about our circumstances and what we're walking through. He will always bring us through. He will always pull you out without smelling of smoke. You may not think it at the time. You may think, God, don't you see me? God, don't you know me? God, what about this? What about that? But He will always bring you through. But what you get to realize is that there's a different facet of God that you've never seen before. See, when you start to walk in those areas, I mean, I start to get a bit of excitement these days, because we will have adversity whether we like it or not. It says it in scriptures that we're going to have trials and tribulations. But there's also an excitement in me now. Lord, if I have to go through trials and tribulations, who are you going to be for me right now? I may not understand everything that's going on and all those situations. Obviously, your situation at work, you don't understand what's going on, but you'll start to see the elements of, God, who are you for me right now? And you need to ask those questions. And you need to know who He is for you through those trials. Otherwise, how are you going to grow? How are you going to develop? How is your relationship ever going to stay to a level where you need God? Because if you didn't have trials and tribulations and everything, you're bouncing around with the field with sheep, why would you not need a relationship? If everything was smooth and glorious all the time, then what, as a humanistic point of view, why would you need God? I'm not saying that the trials are bought by God at all, but we need to have faith. And faith is what is created. God's given us faith to stand in what we've been given and know that we're going to be victorious whatever we do. Amen?
Amen.
So, I know this seems really weird. Does that helmet come off that? Where's young Ryan? Is young Ryan downstairs, is it? Oh, is he hiding at the back? Cool. See, this is sometimes the weirdness that goes, and I don't know why. Ryan, can you come here? Sorry. And all the way through worship, the Lord said, see this centurion. I want you to stand there, and I want you to put this on. Yeah, mine is trendy hairstyle. See, the Lord's got a word for you. When I was watching you and listening to you, God said that basically, or I felt like the Lord was saying, that you are going to bring such breakthrough for this church in worship. You are like a centurion that stands guard, but also you're going to break through to the heavens in such a way that you haven't even seen yet and you don't even know yet, but you're going to start opening up the heavens, but you're going to stand guard as a worship leader to what is let in and what is let out. So you have an element of what that looks like of standing guard, but also that you're like a centurion in the worship realms. And I want you to really start to walk in a level of humility in such closeness with God that you know when to switch it on, switch it off, how to move and live and have your being when it comes to, Lord, what do I do in worship? Because if I'm the gatekeeper and the centurion of your heart, I need to know how to release it. And so, like I said, I don't know why, but I just thought that I needed to do that and speak that over you. So, whoa, praise God. Thank you. So I'm just going to pray that, Lord, I just release over him now. Father, I just release over him that he just gets to walk in such humility and such grace when it comes to worship, but Father, he gets to open the heavens over this church. Lord, that it's not through his power, but it's through your power and through your strength. Father, that as he lives and moves and has his being, they get to see your glory, your goodness and your faithfulness for this church and everybody in it, that hearts and lives will be changed because of what he gets to release through worship, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And like I said, I don't know why I was just there, and you know, for me it's just, I just needed to do it. So, and God's good, and that's the way he is. And young Hannah, where's young Hannah? There she is. Young Hannah, I just get a sense for you as 1 Peter 3:4 is a scripture that is for you, and it says that the beauty of a small, quiet, still voice is the beauty to him. It is your quiet spirit that is such pleasing to him. It's such beauty to him. You walk in such meekness that you don't know how powerful that is. So don't let anybody tell you that what you're not, because meekness is like a loaded gun with a safety catch on. And that's what you carry. You know, you walk into a room and there's going to be meekness. And people are attracted to you for that. But don't think it's weakness. Meekness is boldness. And Jesus walked in it all the time. He knew the power and the authority of the heavens and the earth were given to him. But how did he walk? He walked in meekness. And see, you walk in power and authority. But you get to distribute it how you want to. And just keep the meekness of your heart. Don't let people destroy it. Don't let people get into you that can take you off track, because what you carry is very special. But be bold with it. You don't have to shrink back. You're not the wallflower that he's calling you out today. He's calling you out with a level of boldness that you need to walk in. But it's not for you to be bold in vivaciousness. It's in the gentle, quiet spirit that he has given you that is a joy. Not only to him, but a joy to others. Okay. Amen. So these are the things, like I said, I don't know why Lord just gives me bits and pieces and I go on. But the message that I really wanted to come through today... Whoa. Hey, no problem at all. What time do we have to finish, Pastor Steve? I'm just, you know, so I've got an idea. Okay, wonderful. One of the greatest things as a Christian that we have to walk through is trials, tribulations and what have you. But the best part of the Christian walk and the most fundamental part of a Christian walk is, how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? It's what we need to do. It's who we are. It's how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And no matter what you walk through, no matter what we go through, no matter what we see, is you have a situation where you can strengthen yourself in the Lord and walk through it. And I'm just going to give you a bit of an explanation to this. Is David. I mean, how many people like to read about David? I do. To me, he is a king, he is a priest, he is a warrior. You know, everything that a man wants to be, I suppose, is what I look for in David. And I'm going to bounce from the scripture of 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And it says this. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. See, when you look at David's life, he was anointed by Samuel at 13 years old. And it took about 20 years to become king, but there was about a period of 10 to 13 years where he was walking through situations, and especially, you know, Saul loved him. King Saul loved him, but he also abused him, and he tried to kill him for many, many years. He chased him down, he hunted him down. Why? Because Saul was jealous of David. You know, the women used to sing, Saul killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. You see, he became jealous because he thought David was better. The difference is, Saul was put into position as king by God and by the Israelites. So he was positioned by God. And David was groomed. Big difference. David had to go through many, many different situations before he came king. So here we go. His life, as I said, he was rejected by Saul. He was despised by his brethren. All of these situations he had to go through. And then here we are. The Philistines loved him. He fought for the Philistines. And when it came to come against Israel, the Philistines rejected him. I mean, when your enemy rejects you, that is a bad day. So here we go. So again, the Philistines turned around and said to him, "No, David, we don't want you or your 600 men. And let's look at the 600 men. Those 600 men were social misfits. They were just crazy dudes. Four giant killers were in there. You know, even the guys that were those 600, they had killed thousands themselves. So you knew that they were bloodthirsty, crazed men who killed giants for a living." And so the Philistines turned around to David and his men and said, "You're not going to fight here anymore for us because we're scared that you're going to turn on us. So we want to send you back to Ziklag." And when you look at it, Ziklag was a city that David was given by the Philistines because they loved him so much. But on the way back to Ziklag, the Amalekites came and they literally had burnt the city down to the ground. And they had stolen all the 600 men, all the wives and the children were stolen by the Amalekites. So here they were heading back to the city. And David sees afar off the smoke pouring out. And then the men turn around and said, "Let's stone him. You got 600 crazed men that were your best buddies, your BFFs, now want to tear you limb from limb and stone you to death. Bad day." You see what I'm trying to say? Is that what happened? How did he strengthen himself in the Lord? See, there was no defense. What I see in that, there was no defense from David whatsoever. He didn't turn around and say, "Well, you 600 men, you were a bunch of idiots. You were a bunch of social misfits. You would all be dead if it wasn't for me." He said nothing. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. And when you start to look at what was going on there, and I suggest this, it wasn't a matter of hours, it wasn't a matter of days, or what have you. He strengthened himself, and he turned around and said, "Guys, we've got our women and children to get, let's go get them." How did he turn 600 crazed men around on a dime to actually get them to run with him? He strengthened himself in the Lord. But what did he do? Doesn't say anything. Doesn't depict anything. But there must have been a moment in time where he stepped away, he stepped to the side, and he took what God had already given him to strengthen himself, to stir himself up, to become the man that God gave him everything. See, I'm looking at these areas. There's a point, a turning point of what actually happened. And this is where I want to come from today. This is where I feel that the Lord is sort of wanting to take these areas, because each and every one of you has trials, have had trials, will have trials. What do you do to strengthen yourself in the Lord, to know that everything can turn on a dime? See, again, these are circumstantial stuff. I've been to the depths of despair. And I can tell you some pretty rough stories of what Sue and I have had to walk through in the last 6 or 8 years. But like I said, I stand here because of the grace of God, because of the goodness of God, and because of the love of God. And I've come out of it not smelling of smoke. Well, there's some pretty rough days at the time, most definitely. But I'm not saying that there weren't bad days, but it's what did I do? You know, what do we go through? What do we have? What can we hold on to? And so I'm just wanting to come from the basis of David knew what his purpose was. David knew what the prophetic words were that had been given to him for years. You know, Samuel had anointed him at 13 years old to say, "You are going to be the king of Israel." Did it look like it at that point when 600 crazed men wanted to tear him limb from limb? Probably not. So what are we doing? What is your purpose in life? What is God called you to do? What is the dreams that God's given you? What are the visions that God's given you? And this is what I'm talking about. From this point is where he started to stir himself up. He got himself into a place of position of authority and victory. See, the devil has power. And it's like Sue said yesterday, the devil has power. We know that, but he has no authority. You guys do. I do. Power and authority. So why do you give heed to the devil and the stuff that's going on? Because you don't need to. You have the authority to switch atmospheres. You have the authority to take something and change it. You don't shrink back. You don't retreat. God hasn't built you to retreat. He's built you to move forward. It's like this guy. You know, I mean, he's got armor front and back. But actually, when you look at the armor that Israel was given, they never had protection on their backs. They only had protection on their fronts. Why? Because all they were to do was to move forward. God hasn't built you to fail. He's built you for victory. Okay? See, all that I'm speaking now is not the basis of any profound stuff. These are declarations over your life. He has built you for victory, sir. And I'm looking at you with the black t-shirt. He has built you for victory. And you are a victor. More than you know. More than you know. Lord, I just release the power of God into him for victory. Lord, you just give him such supernatural downloads, even while he sleeps, of the victor that he is. The father that he is. Lord, I just release a greater understanding of what it is to have the father's heart, but to also release the father's heart. Lord, I speak Mark 1:11 over him, that you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's what he's speaking over you. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Doesn't matter. It's not what you do that makes you who you are. It's who you are that makes you what you do. And that's why you're a victor. And you get to lead your children and your children's children and your grandchildren into victory, no matter what it looks like. Praise God. So anyway, I digress. So here we go. You know, David's purpose. He was anointed to be the king of Israel. He knew his primary purpose was to become king. But it didn't look like at that time that he was going to be king, because he thought he was just going to get ripped apart by 600 crazed men. But in that moment, as I said, he literally changed everything on a dime, and off they went. Now, for me, prophetic words, scriptures. I mean, how many of you have been given words in the last 30 days or scriptures in the last 30 days from God? Or just something? See, there's loads of you. Why? Because he's already pre-preparing you. He's given you tools to work on. He's already given, before you even guys go into battle, the same with me, even before we go into battle, he's given you something for victory. And when sometimes we don't even realize it. Sometimes we don't even know it. But he will always prepare us for battle even before we go into it. So, David knew his purpose. He was to be king. And they went, they got all their women back, they get all their kids back. Do you know what happened on the situation after that incident happened? Do you know what happened to him after that? He was crowned king. The king of Israel. See, and nobody's seen a king ever since that. Him and Solomon were the gateway to Israel for glory. They were built for a time such as that and a purpose such as that. Don't let the things that are attacking you or come against you to take you off your purpose. Take you away from your dreams. Because the next situation that you walk through can take you through to the throne room. And it will take you through to the throne room. Are you guys good? You're very quiet. So anyway, I digress. So number one, really in regards, as I said, is finding out what your purpose is. And ask God. If you don't know what your purpose is, ask Him, Lord, what is my purpose? Because sometimes I don't know what my purpose is. And if that's to be a mum or a dad, that is your purpose right now. I'm not going to say that's it for your destiny. I'm saying, what is your purpose right now? But you need to ask Him. And you need to hear. If you can't hear the voice of God for yourself, you're done for. Isaiah 55:3 turns around and says, come to me, hear my voice. Incline your ear, and your soul shall live. Actually, I think I may have that around the wrong way. But there's three commandments. He said, come to me. Why? Because He wants to give you something. Incline your ear. Listen. Hear my voice, and your soul shall live. And what does it say in 1 John 3? As your soul prospers, what? You shall prosper and you shall have life and wealth and prosperity, all of those great things. But you need to hear His voice for yourselves. And that's the most important thing. And Isaiah was talking about to hear His voice is life. His voice gives life. Everything you get to hear from the Lord gives life. It will never give death or destruction or condemnation or judgment or criticism. It is life. So David heard His voice. All of a sudden, download, prophecies, scriptures. Lord, you told me I was going to be this, and I was this, and I was that. He started to stir himself up. The other thing is testimonies. And we spoke about this briefly yesterday. It says in Psalm 78:9-10, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. Why? Because they forgot the tools that they were already given. Testimonies are tools that you have and testimonies that you've already been given to pull you out of the battles. Why? Because you start to see the faithfulness and the goodness of God. So your testimonies are like monuments. As like, why do you think Israel built so many stone monuments? Because they're areas to remember His goodness, remember His grace. I'm not saying live on yesterday's faith. But I'm saying is if you have nothing else, you stand on what He's given you. You stand on the testimonies of what He's already brought you through. Why? Because it stirs you up. Why? Because it gives you an element to stand on. I knew that's where I went through, but that's where I came through. This is where I began, but this is where I ended. You see, everything that He's already given us for victory. We don't have to live shrunk back. We don't have to live in, oh no, Lord, don't let me, oh no, you know, don't allow this for another day. Come on, guys. You're world changers. You get to change not only your own life, you get to change the lives of others around you. See, these young ones, they get to change the world. They do not have little Holy Spirits in them. You do not have little Holy Spirits in you. You can raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, even at your age. You know, and I challenge you, younger generation, get around your church. If God highlights somebody in your church, out on the streets, go pray for them. Release Jesus. Make testimonies. Create history for yourselves. But you don't have a little Holy Spirit in you. Learn from the older ones, most definitely. Allow the older ones to give you wisdom. But also, you get to be shinier and brighter. Because God needs you. God needs you to change the world around you, change the school around you. So you're like superheroes all wrapped up in a little nutshell. God's waiting for you to explode. He's just saying, just believe me, trust me. And you don't have to be weird with it. You can just turn around and say, Lord, that person needs healing. I'm going to declare His word over them. They are healed. Sue and I were in a place last year, and we went to an incredible conference, and there was a guy on stage, and again, prophetic word. And he said, I want all the kids up here. And they were from 4 years old to 10 years old. And he said, you think these guys have little Holy Spirits in them? He said, God's going to show you different. And he got the microphone out. And he said, okay, little ones, word of knowledge. What do you want to be healed today? And there was like broken bones, there was heart, there was all of these other elements. And he said, right guys, hands up which have got these sicknesses, have got these diseases. And there, all these people, there was thousands that were in the crowd, but I mean, I reckon there was what, maybe 200 adults put their arms up. And he said, right guys, he said, all I want you to do is go up, put your hands on them and say, Jesus heals you. I cannot tell you the testimonies of the power of God that hit these people. There was metal, that a woman had metal in her neck, and plates and everything else could not move. Complete freedom. You see, these guys do not have little Holy Spirits in them. They have the glory and the power of God in them that gets to transform people's lives. Use it. Ask God to give you the wisdom, but also give you the grace and the power to actually work from, and start seeing your friends get transformed. You get to change the world at your age. That's pretty cool. Man, that's awesome. So, what are testimonies? Testimonies are the record of God's activity that reveals who He is, but it also takes us into a place of finding out who He is for you. So testimonies are a resemblance of who God is. It's about His goodness, it's about His power, it's about His grace in those times. But the thing is, guys, if you don't share your testimonies, you'll see less and less activities of God. It starts to sort of just dumb down everything that He is. So don't think that your testimony is not prophecy. Why? Because what does it say in Scripture? That the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. See, when you start declaring the goodness of God and the power of God and your testimony to talk to people about, well, I was there at one stage, but now I'm here. I lived this through, but God. But God. You see, you start to exude the power and the love of God through your testimony. So don't think your testimony is not prophecy, because it is. It declares the future. See, prophecy, true prophecy, comes out of intimacy. You need to know who you are for yourselves before you can release it. You need to know how good He is for you, how much you're loved, how, your identity in Him. That intimacy then gives you the availability to speak it out. But you need to know for yourselves. But you need to stir yourselves up in what God's already done for you. Your testimonies are powerful. Don't think they're not worth anything, because they are the living activities of God. Don't you think that David started to relive all of these testimonies? Man, what about that and that and that, where Saul tried to throw a spear at me and all of these other things. And, you know, I could have killed Saul in the cave and all of these other areas, but Lord, you told me not to. He started to relive testimonies of where he was to where he started to be positioned. And then he said, guys, let's go get these kids and these wives, because they saw something different in him. They started to see the power of God be revealed. If you cannot demonstrate the power and the love of God, then what are you doing? I think Jesus' mandate for us was to go and raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, correct? That's His mandate to us. Why aren't we doing it? Why? Because we don't think He's going to show up? Just saying. Because when you step out, He will step in and He will step up, and you will see the glory of God. You will see the power of God, but you need to step out. And that's what we're saying about the gifts, about prophecy, about words of knowledge, words of wisdom, you know, the power and all that lot. It will not work if you guys don't step out. You are the game changers for this town, for this city, for this state. You are game changers. You know, more than anything else, I pray that you guys get so set on fire that you'll watch this city burn. That's my prayer for you, that you get to change the game, that you get to declare His words, you get to show and demonstrate His power. Don't be scared that He's not going to show up. Do not be scared that He is not going to show up. And Dale, you've been given the mantle of an evangelist. You know that. you probably had many prophetic words. Start to step into your purpose. No matter what the circumstances are, step into your purpose, your calling, because then you will see the glory of God. You will see the goodness of God. You'll see the power of God. You have got a word for people that change lives. You need to start walking in your purpose. But you need to ask Him, Lord, what is my purpose and what does that look like? How do I live and move and have my being? Where are you going to send me? How are you going to send me? When do you send me? But you need to know. Walk in the purpose that He's called you for. And you'll start to see the changes of the kingdom, not only in you, but through you and around you. You get to switch the atmospheres. That's exciting. Amen. You have got such an evangelistic calling on your life to preach the gospel, but preach the gospel in such power and demonstration. He's showing you a lot of things already. You need to start walking in it. Amen. Anyway, I'm going on and on at the moment, and I how have we got 15, 20 minutes left. So, Mrs. Nutman, I'm going to stop on the basis of you've got to think about His promises, which Sue's going to speak on, the testimonies, but also primarily what is your purpose? What is your purpose for life? And so my nearest and dearest is going to be talking on the promises of God.
I don't know why he has notes. He never sticks to them. And I ask the Lord that, you know, because you do your studying. And He's like, well, you know, that's just for you. That's for you to spend time with Me and do some studying. And then when you get out there, you can glance at them now and again, but you probably won't share much what's on them. That's what I wanted to impart to you. So it's just cool how He does it. So the promises. How many of us have got our Bibles highlighted, little notes of bits of paper in their Bibles where you've gone through it and there's, oh, that scripture's jumped out of me. You see, those are our promises that we have. And when I went through Caris, you know, by the time I'd finished, my Bible looked like a rainbow, you know, because I was determined to have different coloured highlighters for different types of things. Anybody been there? But, you know, God just wants to remind you that this book isn't just a book of words. If you read this and they're just words to you, then all you're going to get is a revelation on religion. But if you read this book and it becomes a person and it's the, you know, it's the key to the relationship, then you've got the revelation that God wants for you. So I just want to encourage you to go back to those words that He's spoken over you. Just go back and read through those faded, highlighted verses that He brought to your attention a few, you know, a few months, few years ago. Those are the promises that He wants to keep to you. And, you know, on our journey, there were some really prominent scriptures that leapt out. You know, have you ever been walking through a trial where the same 10 people give you the same scripture and you're like, really? Do I really want to go back to that scripture again? But it's because God wants to stir up that gift inside of you. He wants to remind you of His promises, because His promises are just so powerful. His promises give us over our lives. They're like the rudder to our ship. You know, you've got a massive ship that looks amazing, and it's a little tiny rudder that steers it through the ocean. And that's the same with the promises of God. One of the promises He gave to us was Romans 4:20 and 21. You know, it's one of the cards we had yesterday. And it's, do not waver at the promises of God through unbelief. Be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what He can promise, He is able to perform. And when we came out here, we had to sell everything in England to come here because we were students at Caris Bible College. And if you were international, you weren't allowed to work. It was a visa restriction. So we were like, okay, God said sell everything. So we put our house on the market, and God told us our house would be sold. So we're like, okay, that's the promise. All right. Well, it took 2 years and 9 months to sell that house. So virtually via 3 months of being at Caris, the last 3 months we celebrated, yeah, we sold our house. By that time we were third year students, and I was believing the words and the promises by the time I got there. But you know, that was tough. Those 2 years, 9 months, where we'd come out of a lifestyle of not worrying about money when my husband worked and had his own business, to suddenly being reliant on God for provision, that's scary. You know, we all have testimonies that we have to walk through, whether that's healing, relationships, provision. There's all these testimonies that we can stand on. But when you're in the midst of them, you know, I say now that Brian was the super spiritual one. He was the one that was out there claiming all the scriptures and just encouraging me. I was the one that was like, oh, Jesus, what is going on? Why have I given up my life? So, you know, I was the woe is me, as Andrew would say, having all the pity parties. But as the Lord said to me, I kept reading that scripture until one day it jumped off the page. And the Lord said, what he is able to promise and what he is able to perform. He said, Sue, I'm not asking you. It's not your promise. It's my promise to you. I'm not asking you to perform this. I've told you I'm going to do it. You've just got to trust me. So I've said here, you know, what God has said over you, he's not going to forget what he's said over you. His promises are always far bigger than what the devil can throw at you. And another one was Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. And he said, for I know the thoughts and the plans I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You will call on me and go to me in prayer, and I will listen. Well, sometimes we stop at verse 11 because we're like, well, that's okay because the promises are good and they're hopeful. So I'm just going to stop there. But there's actually a second part of that scripture where he says, you come to me and pray to me and I will listen. And sometimes when we're walking through these things, we're quite happy just to go, oh God, do you not know what's going on? Can you not see what's happening to me? But we just have to realize that it's part of this relationship. And he knows our destination, even if we don't. He knows over here is our destination. So this is where he sees us. But what he's actually interested in is the transformation of us and our souls and our hearts towards him as we walk through that journey, because it is all about the journey. So I just really want you to remember that he's not worried about where we're going to end up. He knows where we're going to end up. You know, what he's interested in is the journey that we take with him to get to that final destination. Amen. So God's purpose is always and will be far greater, as I said, than anything that the devil can throw at you. And there's one time where I was in praise and worship at Caris. And we've all been there, you know, I'm quite honest and open. Everybody was leaping around and giving glory to God. And I was standing there going, right, well, the rest of you don't know what I'm going through. I don't even feel like raising my hands. Anybody in church where they don't feel like raising their hands? Because you think, you know, I just don't feel like doing it today. I am sorry. Yeah, and I had some friends came up to me and they said, you know, friends and your brothers and sisters in church, they were like, you know, Sue, I really feel the Lord's just telling you to sing to him this morning. It's like, really? But, you know, at those moments when you're going through that, your friends are almost like the Aaron and Hur's were to Moses. You know, they come alongside you and give you that strength. And that's when you need to just take it and receive it and allow people to raise your hands. because the one thing the devil hates is when we give praise to Jesus. You know, we're in the middle of a crisis and we go, I don't care how this looks like, Lord. I know you are bigger. My God is bigger than what's going on around me. And I will praise you and I will be joyful. Okay. So, our main thing in our heart is just to connect people to the Godhead, because it's so important that we understand that He wants to speak to us completely, wholly, the whole time. He just wants that intimate relationship. And we're going to play a song shortly where I just want you to realize that the Lord has those promises over you. And you might have had dreams and visions in the past. You might have had words spoken over you, which you've written in your Bible, those little bits of paper that fall out every time you pick your Bible up. You know, those types of things are the words that the Lord wants to remind you today. He said today He is going to remind you. Because what we're going to do is I love praise and worship, and praise and worship was wonderful today, and we sing to the Lord, and that is good. But how often do we sit quietly and allow Him to sing over us? So the words are really important in this song, because I want you to really listen to the words that He's going to sing over you, because I believe that some of you, I actually believe that every one of you here is going to get a fresh, igniting word of that promise that He's spoken over you. And that may even be a few years previous. So I want you to be open on that. And we had, as Brian said, an interesting lifestyle. You know, as he said, he was a prodigal for 26 years, born again at 12 and off the rails at 15, due to a church offence with his parents. But when I married him, I didn't know any of this. I was your good little Catholic girl. And so I married him, and it wasn't till 18, we'd been married for 18 years, and Jesus got hold of our life, because we were heading down a very dark, worldly lifestyle. And it was one of those choices that I always say to people that, you know, I had this choice. I could ask Jesus into my life. I mean, I knew God. I mean, God was that guy that was up there in heaven, and maybe if I was good enough, I'd get there. And if I went to church for Christmas and Easter, then I'd probably have an extra point to get to heaven. I mean, that was my opinion of God. But I had this time in 2009 where it was like, I can either ask Jesus into my life, or I'm going to ask for a divorce. And that's where we were, church. We were like, that's where I was. Brian wasn't around much. You were away traveling all the time. So, you know, that was how my heart was in those days. And when I came back to the Lord, thank the Lord I took the right decision, I can remember Him saying to me, you and Brian are going to be ministering together. And I was like, yeah, right. You know, I mean, that's going to be pretty amazing. At the time, He didn't tell me it was going to be in America, which was just as well. That took another 2 years. But from when I stepped out and made that choice, okay, Jesus, you are going to be the ruler of my life. 2 years later, we were in America on this journey. And that's where I say to anybody, don't you tell me God isn't real. You know, He took our whole family through restoration. It took time. Yes, it was painful. But yes, God is good. So I just want to give you a few minutes to listen to these words. And then we really feel we had some quiet time this morning. And the Lord had given Brian a scripture for the church that He wants to read over you. We want to sort of give you time to give you an opportunity to share some words that are on your heart at the end. But this first activity is for you guys to have some personal time. The song is about 5 or 6 minutes long, but I really want you to open up your hearts and listen to what He is going to say over you. So it's a personal time, and then Brian will come up and share the word for the church. So are we ready, AV, for the song? Okay.
Before you drew your first breath, I knew.
So the Lord says in Psalms 46:10, and I've taken this actually from the Passion Translation, it says, "Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God." I'm just going to read that again. So, surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. And I think that's just really important, church, what he wants to say to you today is those promises that he's reminded you of are still there. But it's not your place to strive. He's already placed those in your hearts. So it's for you just to sit back, put obedience beside the faith, and allow him to work things out. Amen. I did really feel in my heart that there were some of you that were stirred up with some promises that maybe you thought had gone. Is that right? Some promises that you felt had just, maybe you didn't hear right. Well, God's just telling you today, you heard right. So be expectant. Amen.
Yeah. This is where Steve's going to have to undo all of the mess. No, honestly. Not at all. So, bear with me one second. So this is what I felt, you know, is for the whole church. I would love to spend some more time because, you know, God, I know God is saying so much at the moment about certain individuals in here, and I just don't have the time to sort of share it. But this is what I truly feel for you as a church, for each and every one of you. So take it for yourselves. I mean, I'll get Pastor Steve to, if you wanted a printed off copy or what have you, because I like, as a church, is that you need to weigh the word. You need to judge the word, you need to pray over the word, and what does it mean as a whole church, but what does it mean to you individually? And so what I hope that I'm going to share now is something that will just stir something in you. You know, as again, I can't tell you of the spirit that this church carries. It's very dynamic. And I do feel that Pastor Steve is a revivalist. You know, his heart is to see revival, and I know his heart is to release revival, but he needs you guys to burn with him, you know, to set the spark off. And as I said, and that even if that is to begin with, is just share a testimony with somebody, you know, with the goodness and the faithfulness of God, just do it. You know, I can't tell you enough of how many lives that you can just change by sharing his goodness and his faithfulness of what he's brought you through, but also what he's going to do with you. You know, each and every one of you has a purpose and a destiny that really has been created just for you and you alone. That's why he said he's fearfully and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because he's made you for a purpose and a reason. For a time such as this. So anyway, it's an interesting scripture because I've never really sort of read the book that much, and it's actually again from the Passion Translation. And if you've never read the Passion Translation, I suggest go and get a copy of Proverbs and Psalms. It's by Dr. Brian Simmons, who is a Greek and Hebrew scholar, and man, he comes from the heart of the Father. And the way he writes is incredible. And his mandate on his life is to take the scriptures and actually write them into modern day English based from the Father's heart and the Father's love. So yeah, Proverbs and Psalms are absolutely incredible. So if you haven't got it, I suggest go and get a copy off Amazon. I don't sell it at all, but it's just that I've read them and they are transforming. They really give you a different insight. So anyway, the scripture itself is from Songs of Solomon. And as I said, it's not a book that I read a lot, but the scripture is 4:16 from Songs of Solomon, the Passion Translation. And the scripture is, "Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Breathe upon me with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden, holding back nothing until I release your fragrance. Come walk with me as you walked with Adam in your paradise garden. Come taste the fruits of your life in me." So this is what I felt the Lord said on this scripture. "My children, I want you to take my fullness of life and my fullness of my identity. But why do you not partake all that I have for you? It has been paid for by my Son, and you are my sons and daughters. The inheritance is yours for the taking. All you need to do is just reach out and pluck it from my tree of life. But why can't you receive? Don't let your hearts be hardened towards me. Just trust and believe that every good gift from the Father of lights has been opened up for you. I love you with a never-ending love, so why look at your circumstances and not me as your provider? Do you not think that I do not see your circumstances? These may say differently at this point, but I need you to see far beyond the realms that seem to hold you back from me. I see you. I know you. I feel you. I will never withhold my love, my goodness, and my provision from you. I am releasing the breath of heaven over your lives. Just breathe me in and breathe me out. I am the breath of life. Come to me. Tell me your desires, your victories, your failures, your hurts, but also tell me of your testimonies and your breakthroughs, no matter how small or insignificant you think they are. I am your faithful God, and I will release my breath of life in you and through you. I am releasing the breath of my spirit from the north, the south, the east, the west, and nothing will escape my heart and my passion for you. The winds of change are coming. I repeat, the winds of change are coming. The wind of my spirit will blow through you, over you, and around you. He will whip up the tides of change, and you will see my glory and my faithfulness. You will see my heart for you. Just breathe in and breathe out. I am not asking you to fight. I am not asking you. All I'm asking you is to open your hearts fully to me and receive all that I have for you. My strength I am giving you right now. The strength that lets the eagle soar way above all things and rise above all things. Don't look for the fierce winds that breaks rocks, but look for the sense of my gentle, quiet breeze, a breath of peace, as my peace is the strength of all strength. I want for you, my children, to sense my stillness. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe me in and breathe me out. I want to gently fan the coals of your hearts into a flame that burns so brightly and so brilliantly. The people around you will see my glory in you and over you. From the embers and the ashes of the old comes your renewed life, your renewed growth, and a passion that you have never experienced before. The shoots of growth will come forth as a new season, a new change, a season for you to fill up on me. Come into the fullness of what I have for you. You carry my heart and my fragrance. I want you to pour out your fragrance and spice on others. Just as my Son had the spice poured over him, I now release the anointing of his priceless fragrance over you. From the tops of your head to the tips of your toes, I pour out fully everything I want to give you. Reach out and receive, and do not doubt that I cannot fulfill the promises for you. I want you to come away with me, walk with me, talk with me. I want you to hear my small, still, quiet voice. My child, I want for you to hear me and your soul to live. You have much to receive, but also much to give. But you cannot give out from what you have not received from me. Your fruit will be great, but your seeds of my heart need to be planted deep now. My garden is for you, my fruit is for you. Eat what is good and you shall live. Why? Because I want for you to share my fruit with others. All that I have for you will spill out and pour out over in bountiful measure as you delight yourself in me. The outpouring of my power, my grace and my love will pour out to others. They will see my glory through you. My bride, my beloved, take my hand. Man. Sorry. My bride, my beloved, take my hand, walk with me, let me show you the garden of my desires. Sorry, guys. Don't know what's happening. Lord, what are you doing? Let me kindle your heart, and you will see the fruit and the harvest that I have for you. Open up your doors. Open up your heart. Let me in, and I will never disappoint you. Just breathe.
You know, and that word was, you know, we had the scripture yesterday, but at 6 a.m. this morning is when God started to download it to Brian, so he started to write it out. And, you know, we just sat here during worship. Did you notice one of the songs was all about breathe? Breath? You notice the word was all about inheritance, fruit, sowing? So, you know, he's far bigger than whatever we can ever give him credit for. You know, and for us, it's just, we're just available vessels for him to work through. And so are all of you. And when Brian sort of read the word to me today, the Lord gave me this song for us to come up to the altar. So I'm encouraging you to come up to the altar while this song is being played, because the Lord is going to download words for you to carry on speaking out. Might be to a fellow individual in this room. It might be for the church. Might be over the pastor. I don't know. But I know that there are some words in this house that are going to be ignited when we sing this song. And Cindy, you experienced and God opened up the door of prophecy to you yesterday. And you didn't think it was a gift that you walked in, but you do, and you do have a word. So listen, you have a word today to release to this church. So during that worship, he's going to give you that word if you haven't already got it. All right? Okay. Do you want to play the song? But, you know, people, I do feel it's a case of coming up. You know, coming up to, like, what we say, the altar. If you want to, just come up, stand, and just allow this song to play over you.